Welcome back to Christmas Clatter. I'm Todd Killian. Back again the second time this week, guys. It is a full season ahead. Have another great author of another great book for you guys today. This one's a little different than we had on the last episode with Miss Ginger. We have Ed Daly today. He wrote a book simply titled The Christmas Book. Has the vibes of those old school encyclopedias for pop culture references that you would go back and look at it like old Walden books and stuff in the mall, the complete guide to the Marvel universe or Star Wars or what have you. But we touch on that. Spent a lot of time researching all this, a lot of Christmas topics in there. It was a fan. It's one of those great books that's just fun to flip through and go, oh, I remember that. Or, oh, I didn't know that. But the links to the book will be in the show notes if you're interested. And Ed is a Christmas crazy guy. He was, kind of like all of us. And a super great guy to talk with. I really enjoyed talking with him. We'll get back to Ed here in a second. But I don't have many notes. Everybody should have their puzzles out or close to being out by now. I think the Saturday is the cutoff. I can't remember. I don't have the dates in front of me. But as far as announcements, just stay peeled to the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Christmas Clatter, all those places. Technically, Xmas Clatter on Twitter. But just going to have stuff coming at you. We'll have a special YouTube-only release on Friday, so that should be exciting. I'm going to have more live streams coming down the pipe. Lots of stuff for December. And trying some new and different things. Also, I want to let everybody know that I will be appearing on a few other places that are not Christmas podcasts. I'll appear on Monday, November 8th, this upcoming Monday, if you're listening to this at release or soon after. I will be on a live stream on YouTube for just hit record with Ken there. It's a YouTube coaching channel. Great information if you're looking to start a YouTube channel. Check out Ken and just hit record. But if you want to go behind the scenes of Christmas Clatter and see how everything's done and my philosophies on that stuff and kind of into the tech and the weeds a little bit, check me out on that live stream. I believe it's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on Monday. Just pay attention. I'll be having some promos on socials about that. And also coming up in the near future, I don't have the dates yet, I will be on the Brainwave podcast. And again, it's kind of a dive into the creative side of the podcast, not necessarily just the Christmas side of it. So I think that's coming out. I'm getting together with them in December-ish, early December, I think. But more on that to come. We have, I know we've been book heavy recently, and there's a few more books coming down the pike, Christmas books. But it won't be long, and we will be music-heavy. Lots of great artists releasing great Christmas music this year, and that's kind of our bread and butter is music. We love our books, and we love our music, but so it won't be long, and be paying attention. We will be having a special playlist this year called the Christmas Spotlight, where I'll put up a maximum of 24 songs from artists I think you would enjoy, not necessarily all the, stalwarts of Christmas music, but some independent artists and their great songs, just as a place to spotlight them, and hopefully you'll find an artist or two or three that you enjoy and you'll follow and support. But I think that covers our announcements. Let's get back to Mr. Ed Daly, and let's talk about his book, The Christmas Book. Well, making his Christmas Clatter debut is the one and only Ed Bailey. He has a book aptly titled The Christmas Book, and I was thinking he's probably the only person I could think of to follow up Zuzu Bailey herself on the podcast. But Ed has this wonderful, wonderful book. It covers all things Christmas. He calls it the ultimate guide for for your favorite holiday. Ed, thanks so much for hopping on Christmas Clatter with me.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on. No pressure. I actually have some petals in my give you to put in your pocket, you know, to follow up with Zuzu. But yeah, I was listening to the Zuzu podcast this morning, and I was thinking, man, how do I top being on the set with Jimmy Stewart for the you know, the ultimate Christmas movie? When I just write a little bit about that movie, but it's a lot of pressure following like a living legend.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you know, what do? You just kind of you just give it the best swing you can. That was something that just kind of fell in my lap, and it's like I just made it work. It's like I'll do what I can to make it happen, and it went off wonderfully. So
she sounded great.
Oh yeah, she was sharp as a tack. I was hoping to get her on video, but her computer was acting up. And
where was she coming from at that point?
State of Washington, somewhere in the state of Washington.
Yeah, but the way she was talking about, she's on the move constantly. I mean, it was impressive.
She's on tour and stuff, and so we tried to get her, you know, on video, but her computer's acting up. And I said, let's just do phone call. That's better than rescheduling or anything, and because she was getting so busy. But Ed, you have a wonderful book here, the Christmas book. I have a copy of it. I went and bought the copy after you let me know it was out there, because I was just intrigued. And it's just, man, you packed a lot in this book. You cover everything from the movies to the music to the TV to the books to the different versions of Christmas carols to, I'm sure I'm forgetting categories off the top of my head. It's like, What put it in you to cover so much in one book? And I mean, I love it. It's great. I love it, but that's a lot.
I mean, I think the one common theme to it is kind of the same reason you're doing this podcast. It's clearly a love of the holiday itself.
Yeah.
But starting out with the idea, okay, let me write about Christmas. Let me find some aspect that would be interesting. And then one question or one answer led to another question. And I started thinking, well, if I'm talking about TV specials and Rankin Bass, and well, what about, you know, an episode of ER that deals with Christmas? They had tons of them. And what about, you know, there's so many Christmas carol adaptations. What are the best ones? What are some questionable ones? And it just, and then it's like, well, if I'm covering this, why don't I go through, I didn't know the reason behind why we eat gingerbread and why we have trees in our homes. I mean, I vaguely had heard certain things, and you vaguely hear about, I know about the nativity aspect of it, but I didn't really know Saturnalia and how that factored in. And one thing led to another. I just kept asking myself questions. And, you know, then it started being like, well, if I've covered this, I've covered food. Well, what about fashion? What's with the ugly sweaters, and where do they come from, and how do they become popular? And just one question led to another. And I attempted to answer them as it was almost like, just my own personal questions, answering them, and then trying to organize it in a way that would be as if I was sitting next to somebody at a bar or a coffee shop, and they said, well, what's the deal with mistletoe? Why do we kiss under the mistletoe? And I try to give it a quick, brief summary of what it is, or, you know, how come A Christmas Carol, I mean, how come It's a Wonderful Life was suddenly on every TV channel in the 70s. What was that? And giving an explanation to the people who don't know about the license issues and how it exploded that way. And it was cool. It was a fun endeavor, but it was just when I think I've covered this aspect, then I find out about a new movie from the 30s that I didn't know about, and going back. But, you know, the beauty of the internet, you can find everything pretty much.
Yeah, you can keep digging. Now, how did you tackle it? Did you tackle like all the music at one time, or was it just kind of as it came up, you know, you think of a song, you'd write it down, you tackle that song, you think of a movie, you write it down, you think of a tradition, and then you just compile it all at the end, or?
So, I mean, it was a very, it started off as structured as I could get. It was Excel with tabs, and I had, okay, these are all the songs I can think of. And uh-huh. These are all the songs in my phone right now of all the right. Christmas songs that I have in my collection. So clearly I got to cover those. And then I started doing searches about, hey, what are some underrated Christmas songs? Or what are some modern songs? And then you can Google, I have a bunch of versions of White Christmas on my phone. And then you can Google and find out, well, here are the 300 versions of it. And scanning right. through that and like, do I know this? Am I familiar with this? And just systematically going through them and writing down my thoughts and then obviously cutting out what, you know, just trying to put the things that are the most or least interesting and cutting them out or adding them. And I did the same thing with movies and television episodes, specials, Rankin Bass, you know, off the top of my head, I could think of, I don't know, 14 of them. Right. And then I, you know, there's 21, I think, or 22.
Yeah.
And so the internet, you know, you can find all of that. And then, but it started very organized, but like I sat down when I said, all right, I'm going to write this. I had a spreadsheet and it was like, okay, this is the song page. And I just went through it, you know, a few weeks of just songs. But to consume all of the media that I hadn't seen, you know, an episode of SWAT from the 70s that had a Christmas episode. Like when I was exercising, I just put that on in the background. I just constantly, all I consumed for several months was Christmas stuff. Like I watched some college basketball when I took a break from Christmas. And then that was it for like the spring, pretty much February to the end of May. I was just consuming nothing but Christmas.
Oh,
And sounds, you know, you great. Get to the end of it. I mean, yeah. You get to the end of it and then it's like, all right, now how do I take all this and put it into one clean thing?
Right. Right. I just imagined you in one of them like conspiracy theory cork boards and dry erase boards with the yeah, arrows and the strings. Notes and then, yeah. Just kind
of. Yeah. My garage looks like the inside of it's a beautiful mind.
Right? Yeah. Just something like that. You're like, yeah. You come up with some conspiracy. I mean,
it wasn't that, but it wasn't not that also yeah. Like it got a little nuts towards the end. My brain was just leaking Christmas episodes of yeah. Random shows I've never seen.
Yeah. You're just walking up to your friends and family and just being like, hey, this is what I learned today. And they just kind of like, oh boy.
That yeah. I mean, I did go up to one of my buddies. I think we met for a drink in like May. And I was like, I just saw the craziest episode of, you know, Quincy or, you know, something, or Trapper John MD, a Christmas episode. He's like, are you insane? What? It's May 14th. Why are you watching a Christmas episode of a show from 1980?
Oh, man. I got to ask you this. And okay. I didn't read every word of the book, but did you get to see the Newhart episode, Christmas episode from the Bob Newhart show. Not the one where the innkeeper, Bob Newhart.
No, wait, are you saying the show Newhart or the Bob
Newhart? Yeah, Newhart, not the...
Newhart. Oh, yeah, with the no room at the inn and
yes,
all that.
Yes,
wonderful episode.
That's one of my favorite Christmas episodes of all time.
That's a terrific one. But he really, I mean, he nailed it with a bunch of his 70s show where he was the psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. He had some great Christmas episodes, but yeah, that Newhart episode was terrific.
Yeah, it is. It's just absolutely wonderful. It's a watch several times around here at Christmas time kind of episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really good. I just, the thing that really I love about your book I'm assuming we're probably close to the same age, and some of the younger listeners might not remember these things, but there used to be these things called encyclopedias, what you had to go to find things.
And yeah, I would, reports.
Yes. And you would go like to the bookstore and you'd go back there. I was, I was, as a nerd, comic book nerd growing up, and I'd go back there and I'd find like the Marvel encyclopedia, and I'd just sit back there for like an hour when my mom shopped through the mall and just like thumb through it, because it had a little something about like every character and every planet, and you know, and just sitting there and just, you know, ate it all up, because you could dive through it and stuff. And that's really the feel and the vibe I got from your book. It was like, oh, there's just a little something about everything about this, you know, thing I love, which is Christmas. And it just really brought that kind of nostalgia back to me of being back in the back of the bookstore looking through those encyclopedias like that. And I appreciate that.
That's so good to hear, because I can definitely remember the same type of thing with a Star Wars, some sort of all-encompassing guide to Star Wars, and reading mm-hmm. about, you know, Chewbacca's extended family and all right. of those things, but diving in. And yeah, I was trying to, I mean, the name of the game is nostalgia with mm-hmm. There's a reason why songs that were written 75 years ago are still popular today. It's they all hit a certain part of our brain that, you know, that's nostalgia, and it brings you back to Christmas when you were 8 years old and 12 years old. And I just tried to embrace that and really just point out the things that maybe we missed over the years, or enhance the things we already know. You know, maybe a backstory about how Rudolph made it to Air, and it involved the General Electric light bulbs. And there's things that we always, you know, we all know Rudolph, but like how that story came to be is, you know, as part of it, or how the book was first written and what was the reason behind that. And so some of these stories are more well known than others, but I tried to dive into just everything and embrace the fact that Christmas is different to everybody. I mean, there are certain common themes, but people embrace, there are people who are fanatics. I would say, from listening to all the different podcasts about movies, I mean, I didn't realize how polarizing A Christmas Story is. And that's like kind of a love or hate thing. But there are a ton of things that people really, this is their go-to song. This is their go-to movie. This is the go-to Christmas special. And when I was a kid, the Rankin Bass special that meant the most to me, and I don't really know why, was 'Twas the Night Before Christmas with the mice. And it was, I guess, because my grandparents bought me a record where just the audio track of it. So I used to listen to that. So I knew when each thing was coming. And so I don't think I knew anybody that was their number one special when they were a kid, but that was mine. Because so everybody has one aspect of the holiday that they latch onto a little more than others. And I try to include all of that. So there's something for everybody who loves Christmas in this book.
Oh yeah. You know, you're right. It's the nostalgia plays such a big role. And, you know, Christmas Story is one of those, like you said, that people are hot or cold on. It kind of just depends, you know, and like you said, everybody has that one special or that one song. And I didn't realize till I started really diving into this community head first. It's like one of the big traditions for people is the, you know, like the first Christmas song that they listen to of the season. There's lots of people that have one song they have to listen to first. And, and I thought I was like the only person like that for a long time. You know, it's like, I just have to listen to this first. This is the first thing no matter what. And it just doesn't seem right without it, you know? So.
Yeah, that's cool. For me, I don't know if I necessarily have a song that I have to hear first, but for me, I watch, you know, to when the season officially kicks off at mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, and I buy a live tree for our home the day after, the first thing I watch then is always It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. So to me, and many people, that's like their Christmas Eve tradition, or maybe, you know, you do both. But for me, that's the one that really sets the tone for me. That's, I mean, if you come out of that movie not feeling like inspired to be good and just the whole reason for the season, that's the movie for me. It sets the tone for the whole season for me.
Oh, it sure does. And yeah, I have, you know, since I do, you know, Christmas talk year round, I have songs and movies that I do not, you know, watch or listen to until the tree is up, just to keep them, in, you know, I guess, for lack of a better word, in a sacred place, because I don't want to tire of them, you know. So it's like I wait till the house is decorated to put them up, and I find alternatives in there. And one thing I want to get to that is in your book that I want to hear your opinion on, because it is a, you know, for those that, you know, hear and talk about the Christmas movies a lot, there is a one thing that is it a Christmas movie, or is it a movie set at Christmas, or as you worded it, is it Christmas adjacent?
And, I have lots of those. Yeah.
Yeah. And, so I just want to get your take on that, you know, because, you know, certain people have criterias on what is a Christmas movie and what isn't. And, so just how were you able to pair a Christmas movie from a movie that was Christmas adjacent?
So a big part of it, I think, is the conclusion. To me, obviously, this is all from my perspective. Mm-hmm. To me, it's got to end at Christmas, or it has to. There has to be the kind of the culmination of the movie has to end at Christmas. So I'm trying to think of a movie like While You Were Sleeping. Mm-hmm. That's the Sandra Bullock. The guy falls on the train tracks and he's in a coma. Yeah. And there's the, so a lot of it takes place at Christmas, and there's gift giving, and there's a lot of, it hits a lot of the Christmas notes, but it finishes up, I think, in the spring.
Yeah.
And it's not that there's a lot of Christmas music in it. It's a note to the story. Yeah. But to me, it's, I don't know. It just doesn't hit it. And whereas, I mean, we've talked about It's a Wonderful Life. To me, if you have hard and fast rules that it has to be filled with Christmas music, or it has to only take place at Christmas time, that movie doesn't hit.
Right.
But the conclusion's at Christmas, and it's about redemption and generosity, and it hits those Christmas notes. So if you can define that as a Christmas movie, it's a broad definition. But for me, the conclusion, yeah, at Christmas probably is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. I appreciate that. Yeah. There's several podcasters I'm friends with that don't buy It's a Wonderful Life as a Christmas movie because of the lack of Christmas in it. And my only argument to that is the whole movie takes place on Christmas Day, because the conversation between Clarence and Joseph takes place from the time George Bailey walks on that bridge to the time.
That's right. You know, he's at the end of his rope, yeah, on Christmas Eve, and they got to save him on Christmas, yeah, Eve. And then, yeah, it's like, here's the backstory, like what got, yeah, us to Christmas Eve. But it always, yeah, comes back to that.
Yeah. People don't realize in real time that backstory took at most minutes, you know, to tell, you that's know, right. So, you know, so yeah, that's what I always say. The whole movie's done on Christmas Day.
And the debate around is it a Christmas movie or not usually centers around Die Hard with like modern, yeah, think pieces. And to me, that it entirely takes place at a Christmas party that goes awry, and it, yeah, is about family getting together. It's a Christmas action movie to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it does feature songs, but it's, you know, just like there are Christmas horror movies. This was a Christmas action movie to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But a movie, you know, back to While You Were Sleeping, like Christmas is featured, but it's not about Christmas. Trading Places, there's a big Christmas scene where Dan Aykroyd's dressed as Santa, but it's the big part of the movie takes place on a train ride on New Year's Eve, not, yeah, Christmas. So
yeah,
that's how I try to define it. But I thought there were cool notes of movies that have Christmas touches that you never think of remotely as Christmas, The Godfather.
Right. And
so I try to just say, here are all the ones that it's Christmas adjacent. There's a Christmas aspect to a key scene or something to it. And yeah, that's why I added that chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a video on Die Hard coming out, and I don't want to say too much about it right now because I'm not sure if it'll release before or after this one does, but I'm trying to give like the definite answer, you know, if it's, okay, Christmas movie or not. And when we hit when I hit end record, I'll fill you in on it. But
well, right now all we're talking about is my take on it. So yeah, we're not spoiling your take.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. You know, a lot of people look for like the Linus moment, or some people call it the Grinch moment or Scrooge moment, you know, where there's like that change of heart and things. But I have a hard and fast rule on Christmas movies. And I know it's kind of silly because you end up gathering more movies in under the umbrella of Christmas movie than you should. But I like it because then I don't take the time to analyze the movie to see if it is a Christmas movie or not. And that rule is, if it has anything Christmas in it, it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
And I stick with it. And then, like I said, I get some silliness, like Jurassic World when it came out, you know, opened up on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, at least. I can't remember.
Okay.
But that was the only Christmas ever seen in the movie, was at the opening scene, you know, so I count it. So.
Yeah, and that's cool too. I put in my book, and I thought it was very interesting. Oh my god, I'm drawing a blank on a whole section of my book. That the guy who Shane Black, yep. The director who does so many movies, the Last Boy Scout, The Last Action Hero, Iron Man 3. And he, in an article, I thought it was pretty interesting. He said Christmas, he wants a Christmas. Oh, Lethal Weapon is
probably. Yeah, as you were saying. Yeah.
So he thinks Christmas is such a perfect way to really give some weight to whatever is going on in the movie, because we take stock of where our lives are at that time.
Yeah.
And so he always likes to have Christmas as a backdrop. So Iron Man 3 was an Iron Man Christmas special, essentially. And I, you know, I make the point with Batman Returns. If that movie was called a very Batman Christmas, people wouldn't be like, well, that's not a Christmas movie. They just accept it as a Christmas movie because it's called Batman Christmas. But because it's called Batman Returns, some people think, oh, it's not really a Christmas movie. Where the whole thing, I mean, he's kissing Catwoman under the mistletoe, it all takes place at Christmas time. It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is. You know, you mentioned Lethal Weapon, and I think Lethal Weapon would be remembered more as a Christmas movie if the soundtrack had a little bit more Christmas in it, kind of like Die Hard did. Die Hard had a lot more Christmas backdrop in it. And because there are scenes in Lethal Weapon, you know, being in Southern California, well, Die Hard was in Southern California too, but it was all basically in one building. You know, there was, you know, whole 20, 30 minute scenes in Die Hard where you forgot it was, you know, Christmas time, because there wasn't, you know, always something to remind you of it. But it's interesting to hear. And I get a lot of grief from my friends about my rule, but I'm sticking with it because it makes life easier for me.
But I mean, that's, to me, that's what makes Christmas great, because like I said, from all of the research and reading about, you know, writing about Christmas around the world, it means so many different things to different people that it's like everybody can have the rule and it's okay.
Yeah.
But except for the people who are telling you that It's a Wonderful Life isn't a Christmas movie. That's a bad rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a garbage rule.
We need to pass a law or something. You know, we got a serious problem here. But, you know, there's just lots of things that are Christmas traditions that really don't have anything to do with Christmas at all. It's just something happened and it just stuck like that. You know, people like Jingle Bells is like one of the all time classic Christmas songs. And it is.
Right.
Nothing zero to do references. With Christmas.
Zero.
You know, references. Snow is the closest you get to Christmas.
Yeah, there's so many things about foods that you realize, like, why this food, gingerbread, the reason why it's around Christmas time is because there were spice restrictions way back in the day, and the government eased up, the German government eased up on when you were allowed to use ginger and make gingerbread. Like, there are only certain people that could use it, and then they opened it up at Christmas and Easter time, but it eventually just kind of became a Christmas thing. But why do we have gingerbread at Christmas? Like, that's not a reason. There's not, it has nothing to do with the backstory of Christmas. It's because there was some random rule for a while.
Some kind of law or something, or you have, you know, like in Spain, they have the witch and stuff at Christmas, and it's it is all an interesting history. And I really, you can really blow people's mind when you say, you know, if you really research Christmas back, it's older than the Nativity, you know. Gets some of its roots from before the Nativity. And a lot of people, that just is like mind blowing to them to think that. In your research of all these topics, is there one thing that you learned that you didn't know that just really just kind of, hit you a little harder than anything else?
Well, I've been asked this question before, and the thing I keep coming back to is what you just said about how the Nativity, I mean, I grew up going to church and hearing the whole birth of Christ story, and then just accepting that trees and ornaments were part of the deal, but not really hearing about it in church.
Right.
And then, you know, and I don't think I asked myself the question of like, well, why are there trees and why are there things hung in the trees? And like you said, like, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years before the Nativity, in Northern Europe, they're celebrating, and it's all about the solstice, and it's about offering something to Odin. So they hang they're hanging fruits and carvings in the tree, which, you know, essentially ornaments. But what blew me away is also, yes, there could be some travelers that go from one area to the other, but for the most part, Saturnalia took place not in the exact same timeline for everything, but they were doing some of the same things around the solstice in Southern Europe. Mm-hmm. And then somehow it all just got absorbed into Christmas. But it's just, it was interesting that these things were around for, you know, hundreds of years before the Nativity, and different societies were celebrating in a lot of the same ways, with gift giving and getting together with family and singing and sharing food and like the things that we just assume are part of Christmas were going on way before in different areas, and it just all kind of merged into one. And the story of America, to me, the way Americans celebrate Christmas, like the general idea, it's pretty cool to me that, much like America, all right, we take Santa Claus from Dutch culture, but we take Christmas trees from German culture, and like, just like America, we just kind of borrowed from different cultures, and our Christmases are just like our society. It's just everybody's got different roots, and every tradition has a different root.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought up the Americas, because when people, you know, want to talk like Christmas history and things, I always point them, I said, just look to like the founding of America and the colonies, and look how different Christmas was up and down the East Coast, you know, from the, Puritans that didn't celebrate it at all, where it was banned, and things like that. And then, you know, the Dutch and the Germans coming over and bringing different traditions, and how wildly different it was. And then get to Santa Claus, and it's like, it was the night before Christmas, Santa was a little jolly elf, and now he's, a full grown human man. It's like, where did that come from? And it's like the only signs we have is like Coca-Cola's marketing campaign with Santa Claus.
I know. So Santa Claus, I mean, the main thing that I read was Thomas Nast, the famous political cartoonist. He's the one who came up with the blueprint for the Santa that Coca-Cola used and fleshed out. But it was interesting, like the same guy that came up with the donkey and elephant for the political parties, is the guy who came up with our idea of Santa. And if you really examine Twas the Night Before Christmas, that's that's a little guy like bouncing around smoking a pipe and it's totally different.
I did have a lady on a few months back. Her name escapes me now. And, you know, she was from England and we were talking about the same thing about Santa Claus. And she's like, well, you know, when Coca-Cola did that, they borrowed Father Christmas from us to get that. And I don't know if they did or didn't, but she made a lot of sense with that. And you know, it's like, that's one thing I need to look into a little bit more is, you know, the influence of Father Christmas on the American Santa Claus. But there's just so many pieces.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many pieces and there's different layers, but I would say the big one is Sinterklaas, St. Nicholas and how that started. But they're clearly the way it was celebrated in America. The big thing was the Dutch in New York City. Right. That's where it like really took off. But, you know, the whole aspect of Germans, without question, were responsible for the explosion of Christmas trees, but it didn't really get super popular until the royal family in England was featured with. So it's like we even a German tradition we celebrated because it was the British royal family that had German roots, and it's just that's to me it's a real. It's a real snapshot in how America is. We have little things that we don't even realize where it came from, but we embrace it all.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to see some of that trend now where you pull things. I know this might be a little off topic from your book, but where you pull things from other cultures, because a lot of Hispanic friends of mine and they have like traditional Mexican family and traditions around Christmas. One of the big things they like to do is around the holidays is make a whole bunch of tamales, you know, and the whole family gets together and they make a whole bunch of tamales, which I am not complaining at all because
who's turning that down?
Yeah. But I've noticed that some friends of mine that heritage isn't, you know, Hispanic or Mexican or whatever are starting to do the same thing because they just love tamales, you know? And so it's like, we're off, let's make some tamales ourselves. And so I kind of see those kind of, you know, tamales have nothing to do with Christmas, but I'm kind of starting to see that at least in my little corner of the world, you know, that kind of, bleed through from different cultures and different traditions and into others that, you know, just kind of take it and adopt it because they like it, you know, and it's really interesting.
Yeah. When I grew up, my, I don't know why, but what my dad would put out, luminaries.
Yeah.
And that is a Central and South American tradition that, I mean, that's where it really, took off. And for some reason in the middle of New Jersey, my dad that has no, Spanish roots of any kind. He was putting those out in front of our house and, we had Christmas crackers where you pull the thing apart and snap, and like that's a British thing.
Yeah.
And you know, we're not British either. So it's you don't even realize where some of these things come from. But that's one of the great things about the holiday, that there's different layers added each year.
Yep. Well, Ed, you obviously are a monster Christmas fan. You wouldn't have taken all the time and care it took to put the Christmas book together. Take us around your family around the holidays. What's some of traditions that you touched on a few there with your dad? What's some other traditions and things that you guys have that may be a little unique to you or that you enjoy the most?
Well, my nuclear family, I have two boys. One of them was born on Christmas Eve. So my Christmas Eve has been kind of a different celebration than I was always used to, because we don't want him to be shortchanged at Christmas. So shortchanged on his birthday.
Right.
And so we kind of divide that. Well, we'll do some stuff on the 23rd, but then in the morning we try to find something that's not Christmas related Just so he has something that's birthday. And then we'll go to lunch and then we come home and then it's Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah.
But we go bowling every Christmas Eve morning, like 11 in the morning on Christmas Eve, we go bowling, which is a real weird thing, but there's not too many, there's not too many things you can pick that aren't Christmassy on December 24th.
Yeah.
So that's, so my kids might grow up thinking, oh yeah, you go bowling on Christmas Eve, right? That's what you do. But it's really a birthday related thing. Oh. But you know, I always had a very, it was my grandparents, and now you know, my parents, and we go to my sister's, but it's always lots of music, lots of food, too much food, and just kind of a free for all. There's never, it's always pretty lively, from my childhood to present day of celebrating at family's house, and it's been great. But that's our Christmas Day. But Christmas Eve we kind of try to dedicate to my son. And then at night we just do like Christmas Eve dinner.
Ah, that's great. That's great. That's hilarious going bowling. I don't know why it hit me funny, but bowling on Christmas Eve, but I bet the lanes are wide open.
Yeah. There's plenty of room. You know, we got the place to ourselves. Yeah. But yeah, it's not that I'm some champion bowler. Like I bowl once a year and it's Christmas Eve.
Well, maybe you should try some of that two-handed bowling. You know,
maybe, you know, my son is ready to get the guardrails off. And I was thinking, you know, it would be great if I could get the guardrails on for my time. Oh my. I'm just too ashamed to ask for it.
I'm terrible. I mean, it sounds like if we bowled against each other, it would be a race to the bottom because
that's right.
I get to the point where I just want to see if I can roll the ball slow enough to where it stops when it hits the first pin.
Yeah, the pin knocks it over. Yeah. You know, so. First one to 30 wins with right. Two of us.
Well, we'd be going for a month or better if it was up to me. I just can't. I don't see how those guys do it. You know, where they just like barely creeps on the edge and then just
no. And I try to spin it, and all that means is it's going to the gutter earlier than later.
Yeah, well, I got these fat sausage fingers, and it just does not work out. You know, so
yeah.
But you know. I live close to St. Louis. We have the Bowling Hall of Fame up in St. Louis, and
I've been there.
I've been once.
Yeah,
just to say I've been.
The same thing. I didn't know the names of who I was checking out, but I went through St. Louis once, and I went up in the arch, and I went to the Bowling Hall of Fame.
Well, how long ago was that?
Many years ago.
Well,
20.
Being a sports fan, you need to come back and catch the new Busch Stadium. Well, it's not new anymore, but the
Busch Stadium. It'll be new to me. Yeah,
it is.
No, I definitely would like to.
I took many people to Busch Stadium catch Cardinals game, and had several comments of people saying this is the best place to watch a baseball game. It is a great atmosphere, you know, all around the stadium and inside the stadium. It's just, you know, there's not a bad seat in the house, and it's just a lot of fun, but.
Yeah, I'd love to go back there.
Yeah, but man, everybody, I just encourage you to go out and pick up the Christmas book. It definitely is the ultimate guide. There's just so much in there. I could have Ed on for many, many episodes, and we wouldn't touch it all. How he got it all crammed into a book, I'll never know. But it is just delightful. It's one of these books, and I have a few of them that are part of my Christmas I call them part of my Christmas decorations, because what I do is I take them upstairs after we're decorated, and I'll leave, you know, one on one end table, one on the other, maybe, you know, one on the counter in the kitchen. And then when they have a party and guests over, they pick them up and they can thumb through them, because, you know, it's not a novel or anything. And you could just read a paragraph or two. And before you know it, there's a couple of people around. Hey, did you know this? Did you know that? and things. And it's just kind of one of those. And it's just well done, Ed. I just really enjoy this book. There will be a link to the book on Amazon in the show notes and description. And if they want to follow you on social media, Ed, where can they hunt you down at?
It's EZEDDALY. So Easy Ed Daily, but just the letter E, the letter Z, EDDALY. Right. And there's EZEDDaily.com is probably the easiest thing. And then I'll point you to everything else.
Alrighty. I'll have all those links in the show notes as well. That way people are just a tap away and they can follow you and see what else you're up to. You have any plans of writing any kind of ultimate guides for anything else, or are you going to take a rest after this Christmas one?
You know what? I kind of want to figure out a way to, when I was doing this project, you stumble across non Christmas movies that you're like, oh, I'd like to, you know, dive into a little bit more on that movie. So probably something to do with movies. Okay. But right now I'm in full Christmas mode. 2021 for me. And it's been good because, you know, the previous couple of years had been pretty heavy for just society in general. So, right. I mean, I've been, you do this year round, and this is new to me that I'm learning about this warm community of Christmas enthusiasts all over. But this 2021 for me was a year of just consuming nonstop Christmas, like all the time, writing about it, editing it, rewriting it. And when you do that, you just constantly have thoughts of Christmas movies and songs in your head constantly. So it's been a different kind of year for me, but a very light and very fulfilling year for me.
Yeah, it does it. You know, since starting the podcast 2019, you know, being purposely consuming Christmas things year round, it does something to you in a good way. It does make it gives a little hope, you know, just having that joy and that Christmas can bring. But man, I really appreciate you jumping on here with me. And like I said, everybody go pick up a Christmas book. And everybody in the comments, let me know below. And let Ed know, what's some of your Christmas adjacent movies that you enjoy the best, but maybe aren't, you know, just, you know, extreme Christmas movies. If it's, if it's Lethal Weapon, or if it's The Long Kiss Goodnight, or if it's L.A. Confidential, let us know in the comments below on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, hunt the YouTube video down, leave your comments there, and random commenter will be chosen, and they will rent a copy of the Christmas book. So,
Cool.
Yeah. So make sure you leave those comments, and it'll be about a week after this airs that I will draw the winner and get in touch with them. So.
Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah. This was a lot of fun.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And if I don't talk to you between now and then, you have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
All right. Christmas Clatter is a Very Merry Media production. And as always, keep Christmas hope alive every day.